Chapter 25.
I had no idea there were so many churches in Salton, said Marie.
She had already ticked off 3 non-starters from Rosie's list.
Next one is the Church of Our Lady of Sorrows. It's Catholic, isn't it?
The biggest and most ornate. I can see something like that appealing to his overinflated ego, can't you? Jackman said. And it's only a few minutes' walk from here.
Marie kept looking around her, constantly checking the tops of buildings, upstairs windows, flat roofs, any place that a sniper might choose to conceal himself.
It was a strange feeling, knowing that at any given moment you could be in the crosshairs of a rifle sight.
She'd had stark confirmation of how fast things could happen when she saw Ernie Teal sitting in the police car, dead. One second he was considering a nice chocolate bar, the next he was gone. In the time it had taken for a windshield to shatter, a life had shattered too.
Jackman glanced at her. You okay, Marie?
As good as I can be, knowing a killer is out there and both our names are on his to-do list. She turned to him. But I have no intention of hiding under my office desk until this is over, so I'll bloody well take my chances.
Jackman chuckled. Spoken like a true Evans.
So, how are we going to tackle this lot of Bible bashers?
With tact, if you can recall what that is, Sergeant.
He was still smiling when his mobile rang.
Jackman.
Marie waited. From Jackman's expression, it obviously wasn't another death. She looked at him inquiringly.
Gary, he says to check out photo number 4. They've had a positive ID on a man who resembles that one, but with shorter, sandy-coloured hair.
Brilliant. That's a step forward. But hang on a minute. Suppose he changed his appearance for every estate agent.
Gary also said the witness referred to the eyes. They are quite distinctive.
Marie remembered those eyes vividly. They had stared into hers, full of hate and loathing. She swallowed.
They are, aren't they? I wonder why neither Robbie nor Charlie noticed that when they spoke to Ezra.
They weren't expecting anyone other than Rachel Lorimer's cousin. There was no earthly reason to think the man they spoke to was anyone other than who he claimed to be. Plus, I swear, even I wouldn't have recognized him in the clever makeup and that old facial scar with the wig and beard. And I've met him face to face, unfortunately.
Jackman grimaced.
At least we know how he is working.
The doors to the big church stood open. Larger than the others, Marie found it rather austere. Their footsteps echoed on the flagstones. Other than an old couple sitting close together in the lady chapel, the place seemed empty. They looked around, hopefully.
Father Malone is in the vestry, the woman said.
Jackman thanked her and led the way towards a door to the left of the chancel. The layout was different from the church she had attended as a girl. The Methodist chapel had been plain and simple. This one seemed designed to impress. Jackman knocked on the vestry door.
Come.
Father Malone was a tall, heavy man with a balding head, surrounded by a halo of curly ginger hair that grew to meet a tight ginger beard.
Come in, come in. How can I help you two lovely people?
Jackman held up his warrant card, as did Marie.
Oh, no, Brendan's not in trouble again, is he?
A cloud spread over his face.
That boy. What is it this time? Petty theft again? I did say I didn't want to press charges, but...
No, sir.
Jackman stopped the flow.
We've come to talk to you about a quite different matter.
The priest pointed to 2 hard chairs.
Then please sit.
Jackman explained who they were looking for and asked if anyone new had started visiting the church recently, possibly someone who'd expressed interest in helping with charitable activities.
He's well-educated, Father, and quite charismatic.
No, detectives, I can't say I've seen anyone like that. There have been very few new worshippers of late.
Marie showed him the photographs, although she didn't believe they would be of any help. The priest looked through them and handed them back.
I can't say I've ever seen this man, I'm sorry.
Jackman gave him his card and a copy of one of the original pictures of Ashcroft. He asked the priest to hang on to it, and if he ever saw the man, to ring him immediately.
I wish I could have helped you, detectives. But only one man has been kind enough to offer his help in the past few months. He doesn't look like that, and I wouldn't say he's charismatic at all.
He gave a little laugh.
Far from it. He's quite taciturn, in fact.
Jackman's eyes narrowed.
What does he look like, Father? Working-class man? Bit rough around the edges. Though he does have strong opinions about things, so maybe I'm wrong in thinking he's not educated.
How long has he been coming here? Asked Marie.
Only a week or two, and not regularly. His name is David.
What does he look like, Father?
As in hair colour, for instance.
Jackman looked edgy.
He always wears a hat, so I can't tell you about his hair. But his clothes are pretty well worn, almost scruffy. It took a while to get him to talk, but he's a very kind man at heart.
A hat? In church? Commented Jackman.
Not everyone conforms to tradition, Detective. And in these days of diminishing congregations, I welcome them with open arms no matter what they are wearing.
Marie took the photos from Jackman and selected the fourth.
You're sure nothing about this likeness reminds you of David? Take another look, Father. Take each feature in turn and look really hard.
The priest covered part of the face with his hand and stared at the picture. The silence was palpable. Finally, he gave a little sniff.
Funnily enough, there is something about those dark eyes. David has very dark eyes.
Glancing quickly at her, Jackman said,
When did you see him last, Father?
Father Malone looked at his watch.
About 4 hours ago.
Here,
Marie exclaimed.
Well, yes, where else?
The priest looked puzzled.
He comes to pray.
Oh, right.
Of course. Pray for whom, exactly? For Ernie Teal? For Kevin Stoner, maybe?
Marie almost snorted in disgust.
What do you know about this, David? Asked Jackman. Anything at all you can think of?
Father Malone lifted his hands in resignation.
Very little, Detective. I'm here to listen. I don't pry into people's lives and rarely ask questions unless it's about someone's faith.
So he's told you nothing about his personal life,
Marie said.
If he did, I couldn't tell you. Surely you know that.
His expression was reproachful.
We're not talking about the confession, Father, just day-to-day chat, things he might tell anyone, Jackman said.
The priest looked thoughtful.
He told me he had no family in Salton, which made me think he was taking advantage of the seasonal work around here. But then his hands were smooth and clean. They looked too soft for a manual worker. He did say he was a very private man and that being in this church calmed all the thoughts that sometimes threatened to overwhelm him.
He frowned.
This is purely supposition, but I wouldn't be surprised if he suffers from some kind of mental illness.
It was all Marie could do not to explode. If only this man knew the extent of Ashcroft's psychological problems. Coolly, Jackman said,
What makes you think that?
I felt that deep inside he was harboring a terrible anger. Talking to him, you could sometimes sense it bubbling up and calming again. And he is careful about what he says. I've seen that before in people who are grieving and don't know how to handle the mood swings. Maybe he'll tell me one day.
And maybe he won't.
Marie said, Father, do you happen to have CCTV here?
Only at the front door. We had a young tearaway get in with a spray can a while back. I had to get a professional company in to clean up after him.
And how many doors are there here? She asked.
Apart from the main door, there's the south aisle door and the vestry door, which leads to my house.
Does David use one of those?
Actually, no. He comes in the main entrance.
Jackman's look seemed to say, could we be that lucky? She nodded. Father, we need to see this morning's footage.
The priest went to a cupboard in the corner of the room. Inside was a small wireless CCTV monitor.
Gift from one of our more generous parishioners. I can view everything from my mobile phone if I wish.
He picked up a mouse and began scrolling through that morning's footage.
Ah, got it.
He stood back to let them see a figure approaching the main door. The man had dark, rather scruffy clothes, heavy trainers, and was wearing a baggy brown driver's cap. Marie would never have believed that this could be Ashcroft, until he glanced up and looked directly at the camera. Marie watched while an insidious, knowing smile passed across his face and was gone. Suddenly she could smell petrol, blood, and incense. Without a doubt, David was Alistair Ashcroft, and he had sat quietly in this church while his hired gun robbed PC Ernie Teal of his life. For a moment, Marie thought she was going to be sick. Jackman touched her arm.
You okay?
Swallowing bile, she struggled to collect herself, vaguely aware of the priest staring at her.
Yeah, just give me a moment.
Jackman was speaking to him.
Father, we believe that David is really Alistair Ashcroft, a wanted man. He is a very dangerous killer, and we have to find him.
The priest bowed his head, crossed himself, and murmured a few words under his breath. He looked up.
But he offered to help me with the new meeting group, somewhere those who are troubled can come and talk about their problems. You say he's a murderer, but why would such a man offer to help with charitable work?
I'm afraid he's done this before, Father. He makes himself out to be a saint with a listening ear, and vulnerable people love him, but all the time he's gloating over their misery. Father, he's evil.
Jackman's voice was hard.
That's a very strong word, Detective. It's generally reserved for the Antichrist. This man caused the death of a close family member.
Jackman sounded angry now. I know what I'm talking about.
Marie looked at him in surprise.
I'm sorry, Father. That was wrong of me. Nevertheless, I cannot emphasize strongly enough just how dangerous this man is.
Now, did he say when he would be back?
Friday at 10 to help me prepare for the meeting. Other than that, he has no strict schedule. He comes and goes.
That was days away. They couldn't just wait around until then.
There will be police watching the church from now on, Father.
Marie was back on track.
Naturally, if we haven't caught him, we will be waiting for him on Friday morning, but we need to find him way sooner than that, and we'll need access to that CCTV footage. Is that okay with you?
Of course. I'll give you the password, and to make it easier, you can download an app that lets you view it remotely.
There was nothing more the priest could tell them. So after leaving their cards, along with instructions on what to do if he should turn up again, they hastened back to the station. As they walked, Jackman barked orders into his phone. He wanted Our Lady of Sorrows placed under round-the-clock surveillance. This was a recent sighting, the closest they had been to Ashcroft other than in his guise of Ezra Lorimer. So he was definitely based locally. Now, if Gary and Rosie could just get a bite from one of the estate agents... Marie quickened her pace.
Rachel Lorimer was still angry. But now she was angry at herself for having been taken in, and furious at the man who had killed her cousin. Although they didn't see each other, over the years, she and Ezra had maintained their bond. Yes, he had been a bit of a rogue, but he was kind to her. Now he was dead, her family in tatters. Of all her children, only Jacob seemed to accept what had happened, but even he was downcast, grieving for his lost horse. Esther had locked herself in her caravan and refused to come out. Noah was in a deep depression, fantasizing about being thrown into some police dungeon and never released.
Levi was terrified that their actions would result in a criminal charge and that his job would be in jeopardy. And Paul, well, Paul had driven off after the police left and they hadn't seen him since. Now as evening approached, Rachel began to wonder where he had gone. He wasn't stable at the best of times, but an upset such as this could result in serious problems. He had a terrible temper, and although he had never actually hurt anyone, she feared that one day, pushed too far, he could be a danger to himself and others. She stood at the kitchen sink, peeling potatoes, and staring out of the window, looking for signs of Paul's return. Gillian, Levi's wife, sat at the pine table slicing runner beans. Today Rachel had seen a different side to their meek Gillian, and she looked at the girl with a new respect. Levi needed support. Levi entered, laid a dead rabbit on the table and said, "Want me to skin it, Ma? It's a plump little devil. Make a tasty pie." "Later, boy. Go hang it in the root store and try not to let Jacob see. You know how it upsets him. Right now, I've got another job for you." Rachel watched him hurry off. She suspected she would get little back chat from any of her family for a while. When he was back, she asked if he knew where Paul was.
"No lies now. That's all finished and done with. Just give me a straight answer."
He looked her in the eyes.
"No, Ma, I don't."
She accepted his words. She knew when the boys were lying, and now Levi was being straight with her.
"All right, go and get the others and bring them here, and no refusals, especially from Esther."
Again he scuttled off, and Rachel felt a surge of love for her poor family of overgrown children. Despite the risks involved in bearing so many, Rachel had done what her husband wanted and given him a big family. But he had died, and she was left to carry the burden. One by one they drifted in and sat down at the table. Rachel pointed at the one empty chair.
"Do any of you have the slightest idea where Paul might be?"
They all shook their heads. Then Jacob raised his hand hesitantly.
"Do you know where he is, son?"
"I think he's looking for the man who killed Uncle Ezra, and who lied to us."
Rachel sighed. The thought had crossed her mind as well.
"Does Paul know where that man might be?"
Jacob screwed up his face.
"I don't know, but when he does find him, he'll kill him. I heard him say that just before he drove off."
He smiled at his mother.
"That's good, isn't it?"
She closed her eyes.
"No, son, you can't just kill people, even if they are bad. The law has to deal with them. Paul might get himself into trouble."
"Oh," said Jacob, sounding disappointed. It seemed he couldn't stand to see an animal killed, but wiping out the man who had deceived them was something else.
"Shame."
Now Rachel was worried.
"Levi, you have to find Paul and stop him."
Levi, who had been slouching over the table, drew himself up.
"Yes, Ma, but where do I look? You know your brother better than any of us. You know where he goes, who he meets. Just look for him."
"I'll go with you."
Gillian put down her paring knife and stood up.
"Two sets of eyes are better than one."
Rachel saw a look of admiration and relief on Levi's face.
"Is that okay, Ma?"
She nodded.
"Just bring him home."
She paused.
"And son, be careful, and watch that woman of yours, all right? The town is not a good place to be right now."
Jacob stood up.
"I'll go too, Ma. Levi might need me."
They all looked at the youngest Lorimer in amazement. It was the first time in many years that he had even acknowledged Levi's existence. For his part, Levi seemed ready to burst into tears.
"Can Jacob come too?"
Rachel smiled at her sons.
"I'm sorry, Levi. I know he would be a great help to you, but night is falling and I really need him here to protect the rest of us. Do you understand, both of you?"
Levi nodded. Jacob said,
I understand, Ma, and don't worry, I will protect you all.
It was all Rachel could do not to cry. Were her two warring boys really talking again? Maybe some good would come out of this mess after all.